بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 10th of December in the year 2017 alhamdulillah we moved on to the 5th month the 18th session that we're going through the commentary of the Blessed Surat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And I've reached verse 98. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 103. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Was there not a single city, i.e. amongst those we warned, which believed, so its faith would have profited it, except the nation of Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam, when they believed, we removed from them the penalty of ignominy in the life of the present and permitted them to enjoy, i.e. their life, for a while. So, in these next few verses, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He's mentioning the incident with regards to the Holy Prophet Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And he mentions that there was an exception made with regards to the rule, with regards to the destruction of a people. When the punishment was coming, they could not wave it off except Qawmi Yunus, i.e. the nation of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's add a few statistics. It is sufficient to note that Nineveh was a very ancient town which is now no longer on the map. So the city that he was sent to, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, is called Nineveh in Iraq, but no longer it's on the map. Its site is believed to be marked by the two mounds on the left bank of the Tigris, opposite the flourishing city of Mosul on the right bank, about 230 miles northwest of Baghdad. So Mosul is the city you go to if you want to find Nineveh. It's adjacent to it. But Baghdad, being the famous capital now, is 230 miles northwest from there. One of the mounds bears the name of the tomb of Nabi Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam. So according to the local legend, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam is buried there. Archaeologists have not yet fully explored its antiquities, but it is clear it was a very old Sumerian town, perhaps older than 3,500 years before Christ alayhi salatu wasalam. It became the capital of Assyria. So Assyria was a powerful nation in the past, so they took that as their capital. The first Assyrian empire under Shalmaneser I, about 1300 before Christ, became the supreme power in Western Asia, just like the Russia you would think of nowadays. The second Assyrian empire rose about 745 before Christ. It was destroyed by Scythians in 612 before Christ. Thus, if the date of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam were assumed to be about 800 BC, it would be between the first and second Assyrian empires, when the city was nearly destroyed for its sins, but on account of its repentance, was given a new lease of glorious life in the second empire. So, simply put, the Assyrian empire, there was two times, two great glorious phases. And it appears that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam came between the two. It appears. And it's good to know these statistics, you know, where he was sent to. It wasn't just like a normal city. It was like the capital of a superpower. Right? And what's strange, it's no longer even populated. The city of Nineveh, which is again a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, let's look at the reports here. So the report mentions, so this is recorded in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, volume 4, page 660 of the English translation. So Qatada, also Ibn Mas'ud, Mujahid, Sa'id ibn Jubair, and many others from the Salaf, they recited this verse, verse 98. They then explained, no city has denied the truth and then believed when they saw the punishment, and then their belief benefited them, with the exception of the people of Yunus, alayhi salatu wasalam. When they lost their prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they thought that the punishment was now imminent, Allah the Almighty sent through their hearts the desire to repent. So they wore woolen fabrics, and they separated each animal from its offspring. Then they cried out to their Lord for 40 nights. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw the truth in their hearts and that they were sincere in their repentance and regrets, He removed the punishment from them. Qatada added, it was mentioned that the people of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam were in Nainawa, the land of Mosul. So let's look at this. So many of the Salaf, they said that they saw the punishment. We don't exactly know what the punishment was, but they saw it coming. And normally by that time it's all over, it's too late. But an exception was made here, and I'll explain why. So when they saw it coming, they realized that their prophet told them the truth. So what did they do? They put on woolen garments to show humility. They separated their livestock, maybe to show again their sincerity, their lowliness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then they wept and they supplicated for 40 nights, imagine. 40 nights. And the punishment just stood there, imagine, it wasn't moving. They're thinking, go away, Ya Allah, take it away. And then after 40 nights, Allah Ta'ala took the punishment away. He made an exception to the rule. And note, the place is mentioned. Nainawa, the land of Mosul, which I mentioned. And also, in the Tafsir Jalalain, volume 1, page 644, relates similar. What else is mentioned? So, Shaykh Mawdoodi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his Tafsir of this verse, he mentions, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he left the place of the punishment without divine permission after the punishment was going to be sent. Therefore, Allah the Almighty forgave the Assyrians when they repented after seeing some signs of the coming torment. This was in accordance with the divine principle set in the Quran. For according to one of these, Allah the Almighty does not inflict any punishment on any people till the Prophet has the message fully demonstrated to them. As Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam did not continue his admonition in accordance with the complete term and left the place of his mission of his own accord, Allah the Almighty's justice did not inflict the chastisement because the legal argument against his people had not been fulfilled. So this is what Shaykh Mawdoodi Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions. So simply put, what happened? Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was preaching to the people. They didn't listen. So for many years he preached. So Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He said, the punishment is coming. So when he got that command or that knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he left. So now by leaving, has he done anything wrong? So the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, they protected from sinning. So what happened here was, this is a classic example of a prophet choosing the less of the better courses. A prophet can't sin, Allah Ta'ala protects them. But their failing is basically choosing a less better course than the better course. So for mere mortals, it's still a good deed. But for the prophets, because of their high, unique station, it's a slip. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, he should have waited until Allah the Almighty and Glorious told him, now you can leave. But he thought that from the command of punishment, it's time to leave. Have you understood? Because he left, and that stipulated time wasn't complete, and the punishment was coming, which Allah Ta'ala mentioned, the people now, they were in a very unique situation. They repented. Because of that micro time that was still left, Allah accepted their repentance. So now what's interesting about this? Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, is from the Quran, it indicates that the slips of the prophets lead to goodness. Look how interesting. So he chose the less of the better courses. But Allah Ta'ala through that gave us what gifts? He gave us the gift of that beautiful dua in the belly of the fish. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. We wouldn't have got that dua if he had stayed and the punishment came. Secondly, the nation was saved. The whole nation. So look how strange. Yes, it was the less of the better courses, but nothing but goodness came out of it. And this is the strange qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So similarly, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, another example of this was the prisoners of Badr. And he asked the two sheikhs, what should be done with the prisoners? So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, they are our family. If you accept ransom, they may become Muslims. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked Umar radiallahu anhu, he goes, kill them all. Right? So in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, so the Prophet ﷺ chose Abu Bakr's advice. And the Quran clearly mentions this was the less of the better courses. But what happened? Nothing but goodness came out of it. Why? Because the people who were ransomed, many of them became Muslims, companions. So look how strange. When we say that this is a failing, a slip of a prophet, in our terms, it's nothing but goodness. So again, this is important to highlight. And this is another huge lesson we can take from this incident of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. Also, according to the chronology, the new lease would be about 2 centuries. Because look what it says at the end of the verse. He allowed them to enjoy life for a while. وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ. So they were given another 2 centuries. After which, it perished completely for its sins and abominations. Note that its new lease of life was for its collective life as a city, the life of this world. It does not mean that individual sinners escape the spiritual consequence of their sin unless they individually repented and obtained the mercy and forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala clearly indicated in the verse they had an extra time. And then for a few centuries they lingered on. But when they became disobedient, they were destroyed again. And not much detail is given about how or what. So this is also worth mentioning. Allah Ta'ala gave them more time. But that generation certainly was saved because of their repentance. So now, what do we have any details with regards to what they did? What dua did these people make? And there are a few details. So in Ruh al-Ma'ani 11-282, Ibn Abi Dunya in his Al-Aqubat, one of the du'as that these people made in translation was this: O our Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, do with us as you are worthy of, but not what we are eligible for. Subhanallah. O our Lord, do with us as you are worthy of, but not what we are eligible for. Look how beautiful the dua. In other words, they said, whatever you are worthy, do it. You are the majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do not afflict upon us what we are eligible for. Right? So now they're making these beautiful duas. Imagine 40 nights. Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua. Can we make that dua? Yes. Any other du'as they made? Yes, they made another du'a. This is in Tabarani. And it mentions that when the punishment came, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was nowhere to be found. So the people, they went to one of their alims and they said, look, what should we do? So he told them to recite the following du'a after their worship. Ya hayyu heen, la hayyu, ya hayyu yuhyi al-mawta, وَيَا حَيُّ لَا إِلَّهِ إِلَّا أَنْتُ. So people, after reciting this, prayed and the torment was withdrawn. So one of the learned people, look how strange, learned people, the punishment's coming. Well, the learned person is this. But maybe the way to explain this is that when the majority of people are corrupt, the punishment comes. So there was a righteous man amongst them and he told him to make this dua. يَا حَيُّ, this is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ever-living. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَّهِ إِلَّهُ Al-Hayy, the ever-living. O ever-living who does not die, Hayy. La Hayyu وَيَا حِيُّ يُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. He goes, no, death comes to you. You are the ever-living. وَيَا حِيُّ, you are the ever-living. There is no God worthy of worship except you. When they said this, the punishment was taken away. So note, we got du'as as well. Other gifts. But these are the gifts given to us by the people of Yunus. Imagine. The people that Allah Ta'ala was sent to destroy, they've given us du'as. That we can say. And Allah Ta'ala forgave the nation. And this is very important. If He forgives nations, then what about our individual who makes that du'a? Surely he's, you know, deserving of forgiveness by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So now you have to go through other details to get additions here. So in Surah 21 verse 87, Surah 21 verse 87, Surah Al-Anbiya, there's a verse there which adds an important detail. So it says there, verse 87, إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَادِبًا. Remember when the companion of the fish, when he departed in wrath, he imagined that we would never put him in trouble. That's the verse. So Allah Ta'ala clearly mentions he left his people in wrath. He was angry. What does that mean? So in a report it mentions. So this is recorded in Ibn Jarir, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Ad-Dahaq rahmatullah alayhi said, anger towards his people. So look how interesting. The verse says, the man of the fish, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he departed in wrath, but who's the wrath directed towards? The people. In other words, I gave you the message, you didn't listen. I'm not staying with you. The punishment is coming. I'm off. Well, then Allah Ta'ala says something very interesting. He imagined that we would never put him into trouble. Look how amazing. He thought that by leaving, alayhi salatu wasalam, he's safe. But in actual fact, by leaving, his people became safe. He was now the one who is going to go through a tribulation. So look how ironic. Allah Ta'ala says by going, he's helped his people, but he's put himself into a predicament. Then what happened? You got to look at the book of Jonah. But before going through the book of Jonah, let's mention the Quran in it. Right? So this is something, so it clearly mentions he was angry. But no, the anger wasn't towards A'udhu Billah, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. It was towards the people. Because they were disobeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Another part of the Quran that we can certainly look at is Surah 37 verse 147. So it mentions there, and this talks about the number of people that he was sent to. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says, وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ مِئَةِ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. We sent him on a mission to 100,000 or more. So here, what is mentioned? In Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Makhul Rahmatullah Alayhi, he explained, means they numbered 110,000, the people who were sent to, 110,000. Ibn Jarir, he said in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, some of the scholars of Arabic, the people of Basra, they say that this means up to 100,000 or more. So when Allah Ta'ala says, إِلَىٰ مِئَةِ أَلْفِ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ, it means more than 100,000. And what's interesting, the Old Testament, the Bible, the city of Nineveh was a large city. In the book of Jonah 3-3, it mentions, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. In the book of Jonah 4:11, it mentions, wherein are more than 60,000 people. So simply put, according to the Bible, in other words, its circuit was around 45 miles. Its population was over 120,000. So this seems to be true, what the Bible is mentioning, according to the Furqan mentioning the details. 45 mile radius. So it's a huge city. And yeah, when you look at the verses, you seem to get this, maybe an impression that he went to kind of a locality. It was massive. It was one of the capitals that he was sent to. So this was a huge, you know, mandate for Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So now the details, obviously we can look into this. But simply put, it mentions that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm obviously paraphrasing, He left the people. He went to the coast. He gets onto a boat or a ship. And then a storm breaks. When the storm breaks, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam realizes that Allah Ta'ala's upset. And he's the one who's caused this. So he tells his people on the boat, he goes, look, you need to throw me over the boat. Throw me off the ship, otherwise you'll perish. So again, the details, the people said, we can't throw you off, because they knew him. They said, astaghfirullah, because you're a holy man. He goes, we're throwing you off, because we're bound to be doomed. You're asking for this to be destroyed. He goes, what sort of a request is this? He goes, if you don't do it, because you'll be destroyed. Because we're not going to do it. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam says, okay then, let's draw lots. Let's see whose name comes. One of us is guilty. And it doesn't mention the numbers, but imagine hundreds, thousands, God knows how many people on the ship. The Quran mentions it was laden. It means it was full. So then lots was drawn. Imagine his name comes. Because we're not happy, do it again. He throws the, cast the dice again. His name comes again. He's not happy, do it again. The third time, they goes, it's him. So then, what happens? He would have jumped off himself. But the people threw him. Significance. A prophet can't do that. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The people have to do it. So he was thrown into the ship, into the sea. What sea was it? Don't worry your little head about it. Right? What fish was it? Don't worry your little head about it. Right? So he was thrown into the sea, and a fish swallowed him. So what was that fish? If it was important, we would have been given details. But people waste their lives trying to work that one out. Right? But what it was, we don't know. But let's say, just for the want of the narrative, it was a whale. We don't know if it was. Right? So he was swallowed. Now look at interesting. The fish was told not to harm him. Just swallow. So he was, imagine, you know, this is amazing. Right? He's thrown into a raging sea. Immediately, he should drown. Allah Ta'ala immediately, imagine the timing. Probably the fish is waiting for him. Right? And as soon as he's thrown over, takes him. Now, he needs oxygen in this fish. So he has to be a huge fish, obviously. So what happens? He's in the belly of the fish. Who knows now where he is? The storm subsides. The people are safe. His own people are safe. The Quran goes, he's in trouble. And then he does something amazing inside the fish, which only a prophet can, alayhi salatu wasalam. He converts it into a masjid. Imagine. So he converts it, that's his intention. And then he goes, oh my Lord, nobody has ever worshipped you on this spot. And he's praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he starts making a very beautiful dua. And he says, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin. Now this dua, which is astounding, the Prophet said something very interesting about it. So what did he mention, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the report mentions, in Daylami and Kanzul Umar, the dua of my brother Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was astonishing. The beginning was tahleel. The center, tasbih. And the end, confession. Then the Prophet recited, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this part of the verse. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no worried, no distressed, no trouble, no indebted had ever invoked with this during the day 3 times. But it is answered for him. So now, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? His dua was amazing. Because his dua was praise. Because he started with tahleel. Why? There's no greater dhikr. La ilaha. There is no God. Illa ant. Then he said, tasbih. Subhanak. It was half the skills. And at the end, he confesses. La ilaha illa ant. Subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. That's all he said. He goes, this, and for the Prophet to say astonishing, it's not like me and you or some PhD guy saying it. He says dua was astonishing. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, and look at the context, he said it can't be a worse scenario. he's going to die. Where's the air? Where's the food? Where's the light? Wherever. Allah Ta'ala took him out of that. Because so therefore, no worried, no distressed, no troubled, no indebted, ever invoked with it, during the day, three times, it is answered. So when you are in these conditions, you say it three times, Allah Ta'ala will answer it. In another report, it mentions, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Hakim Targhib, the Prophet said, if the Muslim recites this dua 40 times during his illness and then dies as a result of his illness, then he shall get the reward of a martyr. And if he recovers, then all his sins shall be forgiven. So when a person is seriously ill, this is an important dua. Say it 40 times and he dies, he's martyred. The reward of a martyr, if he survives, he's forgiven. And what dua did he make? SubhanAllah. Right? The report mentions in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abu Auf al-Arabi, he said, when Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam found himself in the belly of the fish, he thought he had died. Then he moved his legs. When he moved his legs, he realized he was alive. He then prostrated where he was and called out, O Lord, I have taken a place of worship to you in a place where no other person has reached. In another report, it mentions, this is in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Jarir, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Ibn Kathir's Qisas al-Anbiya. The Prophet said, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam was in the belly of the fish. He praised his Lord by making the dua. His dua raised to the heavens, to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his words were faintly heard by the people, by the angels. They barely heard it and they inquired. Allah the Almighty said, this is Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. The angels alayhi salatu wasalam then said, O our Lord, would you not have mercy on what he had done in his leisure time, that it now will save him in his distress? Allah the Almighty then saved him and ordered the fish to cast him out of the belly. So this adds a few details. There's much more, but his words barely reached the angels. Good word, the Quran says, good words are sent to him. So it reached and they heard it. He goes, who is that? He goes, Yunus alayhi salatu. And what did they say? He goes, all the time of ease he had, he was remembering you. Now help him. Allah Ta'ala goes, I will help him. So all of this coincided, the dua. And that's why the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want your Lord to remember you in times of hardship, remember him in abundance in time of peace. This is in Tirmidhi and Mishkat. So note profound lessons. Then what happens? He was then cast onto the shore. Now how does a fish cast a person onto the shore? Does that mean that the fish died because he was grounded? Allah Ta'ala knows best. But he was gravely ill. Think about that. He came onto the shore, he was gravely ill. And then Allah Ta'ala caused a pumpkin, you know, a species of pumpkin to grow over him. And he ate from that. And what's interesting is, there's a specific bacteria in certain wells that are lethal for human beings. And they found the antidote. And guess what it is? Pumpkin. That's a bit of a coincidence. Allah Ta'ala made a pumpkin grow. Why? Because he had that in his within his system if it was a well. And then the hadith mentions in Ibn Abi Dunya, Allah Ta'ala caused a mountain goat to come down. And he milked it and he was drinking the goat milk of the goat and he recovered. Right? So all of that he went through because he left his people. Imagine. Allah Ta'ala takes them to task, like he doesn't take anybody else to task. But at the same time, note, did he ever panic? No. Prophets never panic. Normal person in that scenario, what's happening here? He's still remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what condition are you in? Imagine, brother, you don't know what I'm going through. My iman's in jeopardy. But look at Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And an amazing thing is that Allah Ta'ala says he was in the darkness of the belly of the fish. But really, how many darknesses were there? He was at the bottom of the sea, the darkness of the bottom of the sea. He was in the darkness of the belly of the fish. He was in the darkness of the night. He was the darkness in the storm. And it goes on and on. And Allah Ta'ala still heard him. Doesn't hear you. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But the angels barely heard it, showing that they've got tremendous hearing as well. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So all of this adds to the details what happened to the great Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And there was a person in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. His name was Adas radiyallahu. And the report in Ibn Hisham, Ibn Ishaq al-Bidayah, the Prophet was coming back from Taif. He was stoned by the people of Taif and he was bleeding. His blessed sandals was clogged with blood. And he came to an orchard and he slumped into the orchard. And the orchard belonged to Walid ibn Mughira, Khalid ibn Walid's father. And some of the people were there from his tribe, the Quraysh, they felt pity for him. So they told their servant Adas, go and give him some grapes. So Adas came, he was a Christian. He came and he gave some grapes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who are you? He said, I'm Adas. He said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Nineveh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh, where my brother Yunus was from. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was shocked. He said, how do you know about Yunus? Alayhi salatu wasalam. And he goes, he was a prophet, just like I'm a prophet. And then Adas kissed the Prophet's feet. So the two Quraysh are looking, he goes, how quick does his witchcraft work? He could just give him some grapes and he's kissing his feet. And then he comes back and he goes, what are you doing, Adas? He goes, he's a prophet. He goes, yo, what you're following is the truth. Don't listen to him. And then he goes, no. He goes, he knows only what a prophet knows. So note, the Prophet mentioned Yunus alayhi salam, even in the most troubled time that he was going through. Look how touching. He's almost been killed from stoning. And he's remembering his brother who went through great hardships. So very appropriate that Allah Ta'ala sent a man from the area. It wasn't coincidence. Allah Ta'ala sent someone from Nineveh to him. As if to remind the Prophet, you're going through what the Prophets are going through. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So note, he embraced Islam, Adas. And Adas was the cousin of Khadija. So all of this helps to explain this holy passage. Verse 99. If it had been the Lord's will, subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would have all believed, all who are on earth. Will you then compel mankind against their will to believe? So note here, Allah Ta'ala is saying that this was easy for him. If I wanted, all people could have embraced Islam. Just like the people of Yunus. I can send a sign. I can send a sign now. Donald Trump will be in sujood. If I want to. Right? But he goes, this isn't my intention. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verse 100. No soul can believe except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will place writs on those who will not understand. Now this verse is quite deep. So verse 100, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no soul can believe except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will place rijs on those who do not understand. Rijs. وَيَجْعَلُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعَقِلُونَ. So who are these people that Allah is referring to? So here you have to go through a few verses to really understand this word Allah is using, rijs. Rijs has various meanings. One meaning is they themselves are filth, impurity, unclean, and abomination. Just like it mentions in Surah 9, verse 95. So if you look at Surah 9, verse 95, which we've been through recently, Allah Ta'ala uses that word clearly, but he's talking about they being filth. So what does he mention? They will swear to you, I, the hypocrites, when you return to them, that you may leave them alone. Leave them alone. Allah Ta'ala says, innahum rits. They are an abomination. So one meaning of rits is what? The people. They are the filth. Right? You've got to keep with me, otherwise, you don't know what. Right? So rits. One is they are the filth. That's one meaning. Then, the second meaning. Hence, their deeds become filthy. Their conduct becomes filthy. Their crime, their abomination, all links to this. Where is this mentioned? In Surah 5, verse 90, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَيُّكَيَ بَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةَ وَالْبَغْدَاءَ فِي الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان. Oh, you believe, intoxicants, gambling, fortune telling, idol worship are all rits. Now what's the rits? Is it the people or is it the actions? Actions. Second meaning. One meaning of rich is the people, their filth. Quran mentions that. Munafiqs. Second is their actions now. Thirdly, Hence, the punishment for the crime is also called rids. Where is that mentioned? Surah 6 verse 125. So in Surah 6 verse 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there. Those whom we will to leave astray, He makes their hearts closed and constricted, as if they were ascending to the sky. فَذَٰلِكَ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Thus does Allah Ta'ala punish those who refuse to believe. Rids is the punishment now. Have you understood? So what's the first? They themselves are filth, rids. Second, their actions are rids. Third, the punishment which comes upon them is described as filthy as well. Fourthly, a form of such punishment is doubt. They are afflicted with doubt or unsettlement of the mind. Where is this mentioned? Surah 9 verse 125. So in Surah 9 verse 125, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions there. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرْضٌ فَزَادَتْهُمْ رِجْسًا إِلَىٰ رِجْسِهِمْ وَمَاتُهُمْ كَافِرُونَ. But those in whose doubts is a rids, it will add, is a disease, it will add doubt upon doubt, and they will die in a state of unbelief. So rich now means doubt. Have you understood? It's the word. It's like a spiritual cancer. You got the physical cancer. The spiritual cancer is doubt. It destroys the person slowly. So now, which one is Allah Ta'ala referring to here? So Allah Ta'ala says in verse 100, no soul can believe except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He will place rids on those who will not understand. And look how amazing. All of them. Allah Ta'ala is referring to all of them. They are filth. Their actions are filth. The punishment is going to hit them. Is going to be one which is they are deserving of. Punishment fits the crime. And before that, I'm going to afflict them with doubt. Spiritual cancer. And then Allah Ta'ala says, they cannot understand. So here you look at the translation. What's the poor translator going to do here? What he's put here is, he will place doubt on those who don't understand. Is that what he says? And Atala says, rids. And all over in the Quran, Atala is mentioning what rids is. Now look how beautiful. When it comes to the family of the Prophet, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? In Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He intends to remove all rids from you, O Ahlul Bayt, and to give you a ton of purification. Allah Ta'ala uses the same word for Ahlul Bayt in Surah 33, verse 33. Because He wants to remove all filth, all doubt, all abomination. That's how pure the family of the Prophet are. All of that is taken out of them. They've got the purest deeds. They're the purest people. They are the ones who have no doubt. Why? Allah Ta'ala goes, I'm giving you the total purification. But people translate that to remove uncleanliness from you. MashaAllah. Very good. So now, what is one of the things that rids means? It means doubt. Now, why is doubt a killer? Because in Surah Asr, what does Allah Ta'ala say? Surah 103. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْصَبْرِ. Exhort one another to truth. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said in Abu Na'im al-Hilya 1-138, doubt is a part of kufr. Doubt is a part of unbelief, meaning the cancer's entered. You need chemotherapy now. Right? That means if you've got doubt, it is essential to get rid of it. It's like going to the doctor, he goes, you've got cancer. You go, so what? Leave it. Right? Then what happens? The doctor tells you, look, you've got to have to do something. You've got to do something. He goes, no, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's not important. Then what happens? He leaves it. All of a sudden, finished. Doubt is kufr, is a part of kufr. That's why in Surah Asr, one of the four components of success, وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. Push one another to what? Truth. If somebody confuses you in your deen, you don't just go, it's what I reject it. No good, brother. You've got a doubt now. You've left it. And then what happens? You start questioning. And eventually it starts eroding you. And what happens? You leave the deen. So here, Allah Ta'ala is saying that these people I have afflicted them with this. Meaning that they are doomed. How can you save these people who have been afflicted with writs? So note, Allah Ta'ala mentions that immediately after mentioning Qawmi Yunus. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Right, as if to say, look, there's the example. I gave them time, and just a few centuries later, they were still wiped off the face of the earth. Verse 101. Say, behold, all that is in the heavens and the earth, but neither signs nor warners profit those who believe not. Do they then expect anything but what happened in the days of the men who passed away before them? Say, wait you then, for I too will wait with you. So this is a very powerful passage of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, neither signs nor warners will benefit. Ayat wa nuzur. Signs and messengers will not benefit these people. Now you understand why. If everything is in place, they're destroyed. They saw the signs, nothing's happening. Qawmi Thamud were destroyed, they saw the sign. The camel, they were destroyed. Right? And our beloved messenger, the moon split. They didn't believe it. They were destroyed. Neither signs nor warners will benefit them. But then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? What can they wait for but days similar to the days of those who have gone before them? So Allah ta'ala goes, okay, either you're right or either I'm right. But this is the reality of the equation. Those who denied in old, they had their days. And you also have your allotted days. Then Allah Ta'ala says something amazing. Inni ma'akum minal muntazirin. Wait, I am also waiting. In other words, let's see who's right. But when he says wait, he's not telling you to wait. Right? You know, like one of the scholars jokingly said, if you get a person and he's vexed and angry with you, and he goes, wait 1 minute, wait here. Are you going to wait? Right? He storms off. He goes, get out. He goes, oh, he said, wait. You idiot, he's going to kill you. Wait. Right? And he goes, this is just a human being. Allah Ta'ala is telling the unbelievers, wait. I too am waiting. You've got your days. Pharaoh had his days. Dajjal will have his days. Haman had his days. Abu Jahl had his days. And guess what? Donald Trump, you've got your days as well. Wait. Then let's see what happens. So it's a challenge. Allah Ta'ala goes, you dare challenging me. Right? And he goes, let's see who will win this, you know, this war of ideas. War of ideas, eh? SubhanAllah. So now, is there any hadith highlighting this? Yes. So there's a report. And the report mentions. So this is in Hakim 4-324 Sahih, Zahabi Sahih, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 3-253. Targheeb 2-239, and Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah listed Hassan in As-Sahihah number 831. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam told his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Ta'ala says, O son of Adam, alayhi salatu wa sallam, live as you want, you will certainly die. Love who you want, you will certainly leave him. So here again, the same principles mentioned. Allah Ta'ala is saying, live how you want. Do whatever you want to do. You want to be a Fir'aun? Go ahead. You want to be a Siddiq? Go ahead. You want to be this? You want to be that? Allah Ta'ala, I'm not going to get involved. Live how you want. But then he reminds you of something, which you must never forget. You will die. No matter what profession you take, you know, somebody goes to you, I'm on six figures, yeah? You're going to die? And he goes, as if the six figures are going to stop the death. Another person goes, I'm on breadline, you're going to die as well. And what's interesting about that, in Bazaar Sahih Hadith, the Prophet said, remember often the terminator of pleasures. If you are in a good state, meaning you're not being tested, it will wake you up. And if you are tested, it will give you comfort. Look how beautiful. Allah, the Prophet says, I'm telling you that death always is a medicine. If you're in that deluded state, everything's going sweet, everything fine. Oh, I'm six figures, I've got a beautiful house, beautiful wife. You're going to die, mate. Like next minute, get back on track. Another person goes, oh my God, I've got terminal cancer, wife's left me, I've lost my job. You're going to die, mate. Alhamdulillah. So no death gives you comfort. So why are you not remembering death? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O son of Adam, live as you want, you will certainly die. Going back to that principle. Don't forget, you will die. All of this, people say, look at this madness on the earth. This madness. What's madness? Look what he's doing, and look what he's doing, look what she's doing. Look what this, is there any point to this? It's just like a big game. No, it's not. It's all going to die. That's the common denominator. Right? Oh, that's true. There you go. It brings it back. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love whom you want, you will certainly leave them. If you love foolish things, they will leave you. You love bad company, they will not only, they won't leave you, they'll destroy you on the day of judgment. When they go into hell, they will say this, oh our Lord, so-and-so destroyed us. Make sure to destroy him. That's the dua they're making now in Barzakh. Make sure you destroy him. Right? But you love them. So go and join them now, isn't it? Right? Imagine. But if you've got good friends, they do the opposite. So note here, قُلْ اِنْتَذِرُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَذِرِينَ. And of course, there's famous hadiths where the Prophet said, the son of Adam will not be able to move his feet on the day of judgment until he answers certain questions. One of them is his youth, how he spent it. His youth. Why does Allah Ta'ala talk about old age? Because old age, you all become old, right? So it goes straight to the youth. What do you do in your youth? I'm not bothered about old age. Even in front of in industry, I want to know what you did in the youth. Right? That's a good question. Allah Ta'ala is telling you the answer. Imagine who gives you the answers to the exam except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine somebody goes, you got an exam, but don't worry. Here's the answers. Prepare for it. And you go, forget it. And then you start crying, yeah, you made it too difficult. He gave you the answers, you fruitcake. How can you say it's too difficult? He gave you the answers. Didn't you prepare for it? No. You've got yourself to blame. And look how beautiful, verse 103. In the end, we deliver our messengers and those who believe. Thus, it is fitting on our part that we should deliver those who believe. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what happens at the end of all this? Antagonism, hatred. Who does Allah Ta'ala ultimately give success to? Either on the earth or definitely in the akhirat, the believers. Have you forgot that? Oh, we're getting hammered. But where's ultimate success? Allah Ta'ala has promised it. In the end, we will deliver our messengers and those who believe. It is fitting on our part that we should deliver those who believe. Now look at the wording. كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Now why is that so beautiful? Because it's the same thing Allah Ta'ala says when he finishes with Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam story. What does he say? In Surah 21 verse 88, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to finish with Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam's narrative, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Same thing. We listened to him, delivered him from distress. Then what does he say? Those do we deliver those who believe. وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And look how beautiful. When Allah Ta'ala has talked about Yunus again here, in this surah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he says it again. نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We will deliver those who believe. As if to say, never forget, I'm with you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us understanding. Amen. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلولا كانت قرية آمنت فنفعها إيمانها إلا قوم يونس لما آمنوا كشفنا عنهم عذاب الخزي في الحياة الدنيا ومتعناهم إلى حين ولو شاء ربك لآمن من في الأرض كلهم جميعا أفأنت تكره الناس حتى يكونوا مؤمنين وما كان لنفس أن تؤمن إلا بإذن الله ويجعل الرجس على الذين لا يعقلون قل انظروا ماذا في السماوات والأرض وما تغني الآيات والنذر عن قوم لا يؤمنون فهل ينتظرون إلا مثل أيام الذين خلوا من قبلهم قل فانتظروا مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَذِرِينَ ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل إن الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والتواصوا بالحق والتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم